everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Ringside Rundown podcast brought to you by TWM.news. My name is Eric Vasquez, and joining me on the line is my podcasting partner in crime. Yes, that rhymes. She is Shay Hickson. Shay, what's going on?
Yeah, what is up? Not too much, honestly. It was a pretty relaxed weekend, which I feel like I can't really say the same for you, though. I think you had some heartbreak this weekend, unfortunately.
Yeah, my Giants didn't do too good last night against the Philadelphia Eagles, but you know what? I was kind of expecting it. I, you know, as much as I love the Giants, nobody expected them to be in that position in the first place with a new head coach, new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator. The whole coaching staff is just revamped. So nobody expected them to be even in the playoffs. So for them to get that far, you know, it sucks because I detest the Eagles so much.
Same. You know, I feel it. Know?
It's just like extra heart, you know, my heart being ripped out when the Eagles win and I'm stuck in the Eagles country, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I feel that as a Pittsburgh fan, we do not like anything Philadelphia. So needless to say, I was also cheering for the Giants, but you know, it just, that's just how it is, I guess, unfortunately.
It just is what it is. But contrary to what you're listening to now, this isn't a football podcast. This is a professional wrestling podcast where Shay and I answer your questions about the state of professional wrestling all across the board, whether it's WWE, AEW, and even today we have some questions about Impact Wrestling too, which is pretty cool. But that's what we do here. We talk about professional wrestling. It's kind of sucky that we have to start off the show on a somber note. Unfortunately, starting with the passing of Jay Briscoe, one half of the Briscoe brothers, the iconic tag team from Ring of Honor, unfortunately passed away in a tragic car accident. And his loss is being felt all across the wrestling world.
It's a shame because you never want to see anybody go like that. And yeah, it's just it's a shame we got to do this. Like you said, start on a somber note, but he's got a lot of outpouring of love and support from fellow wrestlers, fans, anything, which is what you expect. That's the good thing about the wrestling community is they come together when tragedies like this happen. So good on them to see them all come together. He seemed like he was a very good human being. Learned from past mistakes, as I saw. So good on him for doing that, and a great wrestler too. I think people tend to forget that he was a good, obviously a tag team wrestler with his brother, but he was a pretty good singles wrestler too, and he pretty much carried Ring of Honor for a few years when he was champion. So yeah, it's a definitely a shame.
Yeah, like you said, he was a flawed human being, but he learned from his mistakes. And that was the one thing I took away. And, you know, when seeing the tributes to Jay Briscoe, is just that he was he treated everyone with respect. And, you know, he had his faults, but he overcame those. And we got to see that he was just a family man, a man that cared about his wife and his kids and the state of professional wrestling. And he really loved professional wrestling, and he really loved to, from what I saw from like younger talent that we don't see, some from the indies, he really loved to go out of his way and help them out and give them a good word and make them feel like they were part of pro wrestling, which is like a fraternity sort of, you know. It's kind of like a family thing. When you get in, you kind of look for someone to kind of guide you along, and Jay Briscoe was always that kind person that everybody talked about. So our condolences go out to his family, his friends, his peers, his coworkers, and his fans. Like I said, he was in a tragic car accident, but there is some positivity coming out of it. His daughter, who is also in the car, looks to be on the mend. She's still in the hospital, but it doesn't look like she's going to suffer any life-threatening injuries. As far as what I'm reading, we don't know, but it looks like she's going to be in the mend, and she's regaining feeling in her lower extremities, and that's just good to hear. Unfortunately, we lost Jay Briscoe, and I don't know what's going to happen with the Briscoe, you know, with the tag team. Obviously, that's not even a problem, you know, like it's not even a focal point. Yeah. But it's just to think about tag teams and to think about Ring of Honor without the Briscoes is just crazy.
And I honestly couldn't even imagine how bad his brother must be feeling right now, especially. Yeah. I couldn't even imagine. Like, I can't even imagine losing someone that I'm just close to in general. But to lose a family member that you were pretty much attached to the hip with is, that's a whole other level of pain that I would not wish on anybody. And to literally have it happen right around his birthday too. His birthday was January 18th. So I could not even imagine that happening and then turn right around and, oh, well, it's your birthday. And it's like, it's wouldn't even be the same. I couldn't even, again, imagine what he's going through right now. So I just hope everything's okay.
Yeah, thoughts go out to him and the rest of his family. And search out the, there's a sort of, I don't know if it's a GoFundMe, but it's a sort of like a GoFundMe that's out for his family. So search that out. And if you have anything to give, please definitely donate it to the family who's definitely grieving at this time from this unexpected tragedy. But again, our thoughts and condolences go out to the friends and family of Jay Briscoe. So again, this is another mailbag episode, our favorite thing to do. Now we've kind of transitioned into a show that's done mainly recaps and things like that to just letting you guys dictate what we talk about on the show with this mailbag episode. So we're doing another mailbag episode. This one has more questions than last week. So we should have a good episode this week.
Yeah, I think last week we had 14. This week we have 21 actually. So we got quite a few. I was happy with the number. That's my lucky number. So, you know, I'm okay with that. But yeah, we got 21 questions. So this should be fun. And just reading through most of them, we're going to be talking about a lot of things today. And that's always my favorite thing is when we get to touch on pretty much everything that we would have wanted to talk about anyway, because sometimes we're just like, I don't really know what we want to talk about, because we like we've said, we don't want to be just another like, oh, recap show, because there's 5,000 recap shows online. Mm-hmm. And so it's tough when we're like, okay, well, if we can't recap this, then what do we really want to talk about? But then the listeners always come through with their questions and we're like, well, now we know what we're talking about. So we definitely appreciate it, as we always do.
Yes, we do, for sure.
All right, so let me pull those up. We are going to start with Dom's question. So Dom, thank you for your question. And his is, what is the over-under on Vince McMahon getting creative back?
What is the over-under on Vince getting creative back? I honestly think for now, I think creative is still in Triple H's hands, and Triple H is still going to be the driving force behind the direction of the WWE product for now. And I'm just strictly going off of what they've been saying. Triple H has said, had numerous backstage meetings where he says, you know, don't worry about what's going on with creative or the sell of WWE. Just worry about your jobs and doing what you guys do. Creative is still going to be under my direction. So I think he's just kind of mending fires.
Yeah, because if I were a talent, I would have been panicking if I heard Vince was coming back, especially if I was someone like Karrion Kross, Dakota Kai, the ones that Triple H obviously sees something in, but Vince necessarily doesn't. So I would be terrified. So yeah, I'd say good on him for being like, no, I still have control. I'm just worried that when Vince does sell to someone, he's going to try and make it a selling point of, I'll give you the company, but you give me creative control.
And that's definitely possible. Unfortunately, I think we as fans are more concerned let's say Triple H or so. I think we're just so worried about, oh my God, WWE is going to go back to the way it was, that we're just ultimately like, we're panicking, you know, because we don't want the product to go back to the way it was. I'm not saying that the product we have now is perfect, but it's still a good product.
I don't feel like we have to complain about it every time we come on the air. So
we don't. Yeah,
I'd rather not go back to every episode we have to complain about something.
Exactly. So I think the fans are just, anytime you mention WWE and Vince McMahon and anything Vince having to do with WWE, it's just instant panic mode.
Yeah. You know? And I don't blame them.
No, I don't either. I think, like I said, for now we're in the clear. But that could all change, you know, 3 to 6 months down the road. Hell, it could change next week, you know?
it's just freaking me out just saying that. Oh, God.
Yeah. I can understand why you would ask, what are the chances of Vince coming back? But the chances of it actually happening, I say for now, I think we're in the clear.
I sure hope so. But then again, we've... So before we start to panic about that being a potential reality, let's just move on to to our good friend Mike. Mike, thank you for your questions as always. This one was rather interesting. We kind of talked about this one before in the pre-production meeting. What are our thoughts on Nick Khan talking about Tony Khan?
And I looked this up just to see if there was anything substantial. I didn't see anything where he kind of acknowledged Tony Khan. I wish Mike would have touched on what exactly he saw that he wanted us to comment on, because I couldn't pull up anything substantial saying, you know, Nick Khan said this. I thought he was complimentary of Tony Khan. He said he never met him, but he seems like a good kid. He said he's met his father at an event that he and Stephanie McMahon were at. But hopefully, I think it's something interesting that you touched on in the pre-production meeting as well. When it comes to these things, we as fans kind of want to see if there's any going to be any sort of bickering, you know, between these promotions or anything like that to further the divide in professional wrestling between WWE and AEW.
I feel like it was also kind of a thing too, where there was a time where WWE never really spoke of AEW. So maybe it's the fact that Nick Khan just pretty much just flat out named Tony Khan personally, that it's like, oh wow, maybe this is like different, that there is no animosity, which I don't even think there was to begin with, because if like I said, I think I may have talked about it last week or a few episodes ago, but I had seen a interview I think Soraya had done where she was like, I think they asked her if there really was that like backstage competition between the two companies, and she's like, honestly, we all just want to see each other do well. So no, there was no competition at all. So maybe it was just the fact that, oh wow, he actually is saying him by name and complimentary. It's like there is no drama. Who would have thought?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what you said before about what Soraya said. I think they just all want everybody to do well. And hell, if there was a way that they could all work together, I think they would all want to do that. I think they would all want to work together on some capacity. It's just that's kind of hard to do with professional wrestling, namely WWE and the way they operate. But they just all wish well upon each other. And I think that having AEW around has always been a good thing for WWE, because it pushes them to recognize that somebody else can have an opinion on professional wrestling. And it's a different way to say, like, okay, they're doing something different that we're not doing and they're succeeding on this level. How can we match them or even surpass them? Because they're beating us on this level. I feel like AEW opens the doors to a different side of the wrestling fan base that WWE kind of, I guess, ignored, kind of swept under the rug if they weren't, you know, 8-year-old little kids buying merchandise and things like that. They don't really matter. And I think now AEW opens up that door that says, you know, the older, you know, mid-20s, early 30s wrestling fan is still in existence and still can be a driving force.
We still exist, believe it or not.
Yes, we still exist.
We're still here. Through thick and thin, for some reason, for some crazy explanation, we're here.
It is weird. I always thought that, like, man, my birthday's coming up. I'm already going to be 37 years old and I'm still watching professional wrestling. Like, it's just so weird. I can't give it up.
See, and I will, I feel like when I say this, you always get like mad or like freaked out, but it's like, and then I'll be 27 in May. So, and I'm still watching, and I've been watching since, God.
I remember when I was 27.
Like the good old days, right?
Yeah.
The good old days. Yeah. I'm trying to, I think I started watching around the, it's a shame when your memory starts to go a little bit. It had to have been around like 2004, 2005. So I've been watching for a very long time now. So it's still going. And have I thought about getting like quitting? Yeah, because kind of what we talked about before, Vince was kind of pushing my buttons a little bit. But we're still here. We still exist.
We still exist. It's like that Santa Claus M&M's commercial.
Did you exist?
Yeah.
We do exist. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
Love it. All right. So here comes another question that you and I both love very much, because Mike would like us to pick a men's, women's, and tag match of current active wrestlers who have never touched before. And jeez. One only. We had to be very picky. One only. The examples he kind of gave, he was doing more like a WWE kind of thing. So he said Bryan Danielson versus Tyler Bate, which would be a very good match.
Very good.
Becky Lynch versus Britt Baker. I would throw all my money at that one. And the Street Profits versus the Acclaimed. Oh, that'd be something.
That would be phenomenal. I think my tag team is easier because I've always wanted to see it. It's the Usos and the Young Bucks.
Yeah, that'd be a good one. I'll just for the sake of being different, I'll say the Usos and Death Triangle.
Ooh.
That would be a good one.
Maybe
or at
like
least the Lucha Brothers.
Well, like throw in like Solo Sikoa, and then you could do like Death Triangle.
Yeah, we could do that. And if I had to like pick, I would say obviously like the Lucha Brothers versus the Usos, because that would be a very, very good match, I think. Damn it, Mike took Britt, so I don't want to say Britt too. I'll go back to a match that I think we talked about last week when Jeff asked like dream matches. I will go out on a limb and go Rhea Ripley versus Chris Statlander.
Ooh, that's good. Two powerhouses.
I would love it. That's another one where it would be like take every single dollar in my bank account to watch that match in person.
Wow. I would go for my women's. I would go Becky Lynch and Jamie Hayter.
Ooh.
Just because I feel like that's going to be hard hitting. And Becky Lynch is sneakily good at being in hard hitting matches. She really delivers on those hard hitting matches.
I would agree. I totally agree. And for the men's, I feel you and I have talked about this one 5,000 times before, so I'm sorry if I may steal yours, but Malakai Black and Bray Wyatt.
Ooh. They never touched, that's right.
I know, and we screamed for it for months when they were still on the same roster, and it never happened, so it would need to have. Because imagine the promo works with those two. That would be so good.
I'm going to throw one from left field here. Okay. I'm going to go with Kevin Owens and Eddie Kingston.
Oh, that would be such a good... Though that promo would be insane.
They would go at it. Just like promo in the match itself. That would be something I would proverbially throw my money at just to see happen. Oh my God, that would be insane.
There's so many we could list, because I feel like that honestly could fill up, I think, an entire podcast of just talking about like dream matches we would want to see and why. But for now, I think we'll just stick with those just so we don't completely take up the entirety of the show. But Mike, thank you for your questions again. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike.
I'm just going to keep going in order because I don't want to flop around and miss a question. So we're just going to go next to Mom's questions. So Mom, thank you for your questions as always. First question is, what are our thoughts on Mickie James winning the Impact Knockouts title?
I love it. I love it. And I love Jordynne Grace, but yeah. I just feel like it's good to have a solid foundation when it comes to your division, especially your women's division. And Impact Wrestling has always had a great women's division. It's just such a shame that this product is not easily accessible. You know? I don't know where to watch Impact. I mean,
is it like Access TV, I think, or something?
I don't even have Access TV. So
I don't know if I do, actually. I might have to check that, but
they were one of the ones they were showing episodes on Twitch. I wonder if they still show them on Twitch. You know, that'd be great to market that way, but I just wish that Impact was more accessible because they have a great product and they finally seem to get it. To just go and let your young talent like Josh Alexander and Jordynne Grace kind of run with it, but also keeping the solid foundation with people like Mickie James around, because Mickie James to me is timeless.
Oh yeah, you know?
She's just solid. She looks like she's never going to like miss a step. You know, she can go away for a little bit and come back and still be red hot in the ring. You know, so it's just, it's great for Impact to have that solid foundation. I wish it was just more accessible for everyone.
Yeah, I completely agree. I do like what you said. You kind of have to have that mix of, like, you need the young talent, but you also need the veterans, too, because if you have one more than the other, that's going to just not be. You got to have that nice balance, and I think Impact does have that balance. And obviously, having someone like Mickie James as your champion is never going to go terribly wrong. Like, she's very reliable, very dependable, has great matches time after time. So why wouldn't you put it on her? I fully go for it. And I think, I don't know if I heard this correctly, but didn't like Gail Kim say she would come out of retirement to face Mickie James?
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I think I may have seen that, but that would be really, really good. So yeah.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, so I don't have a single problem with her having that title.
I wish Gail Kim would come out of retirement to join AEW, though.
Oh, wouldn't that be something? That would be great. Man,
she could have some great matches with the talent of AEW.
Right, and they would more than benefit from her being there, because, again, veteran presence. So, yeah, maybe we'll talk it into existence. Who knows?
Maybe.
We do have a penchant for doing that sometimes, so we'll see. Oh, boy. All right, so who is going to win the Royal Rumble for both the men and the women, and who is going to be the biggest possible surprise entry? Oh boy.
I have my women's pick as Rhea Ripley.
Yeah, mine too. Same way. Yeah, I'd love to be Dana, but I know better. It's gonna be Rhea, I think.
I don't know what they're gonna. Usually you can predict, all right, they're gonna go with this person because they're gonna do this. We can only predict that Rhea's gonna win, but we really don't know what they're gonna do with Rhea.
Yeah, you know? I think maybe if she wins it, she'll challenge Charlotte for the title as a way of getting revenge on her from WrestleMania a few years ago.
Ah.
And that's long-term storytelling right there.
I would love to see her go against Bianca Belair, though.
Yeah. I mean, they've been hinting at that like once or twice. They've been kind of dropping those little crumbs. So I think it might be Bianca. I don't see her going down to NXT. I don't think they're going to do that experiment again because that did not work very well. But I think it was just more or less who went down, not really why. But yeah, I think definitely Rhea. My little sad soul wants Shayna, but hey, who knows? Just as long as I don't make her the last one eliminated again, because I think at that point they're just going to torture me on purpose. But for the men, though, I don't know. This is the one I think you and I are like, I don't know who it's going to be.
Yeah, I have no idea when it comes to the men. I can't. I mean, Cody Rhodes seems like an obvious pick.
Kevin, maybe?
Well, Kevin's in the main event.
Oh, wait, yeah. I feel like Cody would just be, yeah. It's like, it's so obvious, but I feel like who else is there going to be?
I don't know. I think Cody, because I think Cody's the only guy left to challenge Roman if Roman ends up winning at the Royal Rumble. But again, even though I don't want to, I try to avoid spoilers and backstage talk as much as possible and try to still be a fan. I don't know if they're going to be able to get The Rock into the mix. So I see Cody Rhodes as being the second choice, you know, the backup.
Which I thought was kind of funny, because I don't know if you saw the same thing I did, where it was, he didn't think he was going to be in shape by then because apparently there's like a time limit that they need to know if he's going to be able to do it or not. And he, I think, said something like he wasn't sure he was going to be ring ready, which, I mean, obviously being in shape and ring ready are like two completely different things. But
right.
I think it was Sean Ross Sapp, though, made a very good point, or it might have been somebody else. I don't really remember, but they're like, you have had over a year that you knew this was going to be a thing. So kind of gives off the air of, I really don't want to do it. So let me just give off a reason. Cause I mean, I could see it to a degree, because if he gets hurt, that is going to that's going to put a hurting on his acting career. Cause it might have to stall the production of a movie he might be in or a show or whatever. So
right.
I get it. But also at the same time, just say you don't want to do it instead of.
And he did get hurt pretty bad in his last match against Cena.
Yes.
me like Tora's abductor and had to get like hernia surgery or something like that. Uh-huh. It was crazy. So like I could understand, but and to me, if he would have came out and just said, you know, I'm not gonna be ring ready and my body's not what it used to be, because he's like, how old is he? He's like close to 50, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, that's he's like right. close to 50. Like, even though he's a beast in the gym, like you said, ring ready and in shape are two different things. Yeah. You know,
yeah.
your cardio, your stamina, you know, your ability to withstand pain in the moment, mm-hmm. you know, and let the adrenaline kick in is two completely different things. You know, so I can understand if he was just like, I don't want to do it. Like you said, he's a big movie star. You know, yeah. like. You know, an injury could derail, like you said, a movie production, a show production, whatever. And at this point, when you start making that much money, you don't want anything to mess with your money. So if he were to say, I just don't want to do this, you know, I don't blame him.
No. And let's be honest, no matter whatever the size of the paycheck WWE is going to give him, it's not going to come close to any of his like movie or TV show contracts. So,
right.
He's not going to miss it. I guarantee you he's going to miss it.
I mean, we miss out on a great story. It would be great story for him to come back, you know, and like, oh, you're the head of the table? Like, seriously?
Yeah.
You're the head of the table? After all I've done in this business, you're the head of the table? So it's a great story that we miss out on, but I get it. You know, not everything can happen.
Unfortunately, money's money.
Yeah.
Which you hate to admit it, but it's the truth. As far as biggest surprise entry, I feel like maybe Jay White would probably be the biggest one.
Yeah, we're on the same wavelength. I was going to pick Jay White as well.
Women's side, I don't know. I feel like they were talking about like a Forbidden Door one, and technically Jay White wouldn't technically count as a Forbidden Door because he's not under contract anymore. So.
Right.
You know, just to make Jeff happy, we'll say maybe Kyrie. That would be something, wouldn't it?
That'd be nice.
I'd be okay with that.
I'd be okay. Yeah, I would love to see that. And if she can come with the IWGP title as well, that's great. That's great exposure for both sides, you know, because I think people will lock on to the fact that WWE is trying to creak open that Forbidden Door.
Yeah.
They're trying a little bit, you know. I just want to see them do something else to kind of show that they're still in the game as well, much like AEW and New Japan.
Yeah, I completely agree with that one. I mean, they did it with Mickie James, so why not do it with Kyrie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
All right, this one made me laugh because I've seen this all over Instagram. Danhausen playing the guitar is world tour worthy. I thought that was hilarious. I loved it.
Yeah, I love the memes that are coming out of it.
Yeah, where it's like his entire Instagram story is just him with that picture of him with the guitar and every like song unknown to man going over it. I love it.
Oh, it's so good.
I loved it. That's just Dan. Like, what do you expect? All right, now this one made me laugh when I read it, and I think like you probably saw which one it was too. But Mom wants to know if she could have the silver platter.
Ah, yes, the silver platter.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's reserved for people that don't know where they can listen to this episode. I feel like she's on like the committee of you know our fan base.
Yeah.
She knows exactly when every episode comes out. She's one of the listen to them. So I don't think she needs the silver platter. I think she's the one to be delivering the silver platter.
She could have her own silver platter, but not like the original.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll go with that just to not have her yell at me when this airs. But we'll give you your own. But the original has to stick with us. So hopefully that's enough. But that one did make me laugh a little bit when I read it.
For sure.
All right. So now we're gonna move on to Jack's questions. So Jack, thank you as always. This is a very interesting spin on this one. Does Bray Wyatt's return match being sponsored by Mountain Dew diminish the significance of it?
Kind of, because they won't shut up about it.
It just feels weird where it's like, at first when I heard the Pitch Black thing, I'm like, oh, that's like really cool, until I realized Pitch Black Mountain Dew is sponsoring the Rumble. I'm like, ah, that's why you did it. I'm like, that's not...
I don't even think they know what a pitch black match is going to be. I don't. Yeah. I think they knew they had to go with it for the sponsorship sake, and but they have no idea what a pitch black match is going to be.
Is it just going to be like Mountain Dew everywhere? I think that's what it's going to probably be. It's gonna be. I guarantee you, and I wish if we could just make a bet on this. I bet you $5 that as soon as this match comes on, before they even talk about it, they're going to pan to the announce table, and each announcer is going to have a bottle of Pitch Black Mountain Dew just sitting there.
For sure. Like Michael Cole drinks Pitch Black Mountain Dew on the daily.
Yeah. Like, I don't even know what that, what does that even taste like? Like,
I don't know. I'm type 2 diabetic. If I have some of that, I might go into shock.
Yeah, you might be out of it.
I might be out of it. Ugh. This podcast would cease to exist.
I'm not much of a Mountain Dew drinker. It's not really like my favorite. I'm more of like a Coke person.
Me too.
I think Pepsi is absolute abomination, so I don't like it. Mountain Dew's, my mom likes Mountain Dew.
It's just got too much caffeine in it, man. I feel like
I'm
like whacked out of my mind after drinking a bottle of Mountain Dew.
Yeah, I feel like. Well, and I can't even ask her about it because she's just more of like the purist. She just will drink the regular Mountain Dew and that's it. She doesn't even like the throwback Mountain Dew. So I don't know. Yeah, and I feel like the only Mountain Dew I actually tolerate and wouldn't mind drinking is like the Baja Blast from Taco Bell. And that's about it.
Yeah, Baja Blast. Taco Bell just comes in clutch.
Right? Like, it is so good. I think the only other one I've ever had that I didn't really mind was like the... like the Blue Voltage, I think. But even then, I'm just like, I can't drink this all the time or I might die. So
I remember I was addicted to Code Red for little bit. But then I heard somebody told me that the dye that's in the Code Red can trigger your anxiety. And I'm like, oh, that's why I haven't been able to sleep in 3 days.
You're like, this is just gonna make it worse. So now I'll know to stay away from that because God knows I don't need that flaring up again. So
exactly. I was like, oh, it makes so much sense. I can't stop shaking. It's because I've been drinking this soda.
Okay, so to any of our friends, fellow friends with anxiety, don't drink Code Red.
Because clearly, public service announcement.
And it's not gonna help you guys out in the least. So
I'm glad we were able to get that out in this wrestling podcast, but to get back on point, I just feel like it was fine until it's just mentioned all over the place, like Mountain Dew, Pitch Black match, Mountain Dew, Pitch Black, all over the place. It's just kind of plastered. Again, they haven't even told us what a Pitch Black match is. I don't even think they know what a Pitch Black match is.
No, honestly, I feel like I hope that they just Pitch Black match sponsored by Mountain Dew and they just never mention it throughout the rest of the match and just let the match actually happen.
Because I'm really worried about this match. I'm still struggling. I mean, I'm liking the Bray Wyatt stuff.
Oh yeah,
but yeah. I need something else to get me motivated to watch this match. Because I feel like with the gimmick of the match might overshadow any sort of chemistry these guys might have in the ring.
Yeah.
Because like you said, this Pitch Black match, this Mountain Dew stuff might take away from the match itself. And then we can't sit and see, oh, well, Bray Wyatt and LA Knight really work well together. It's just too much of a gimmicky. It's almost like this is Bray Wyatt's first match back. Yeah, well, it is his first match back, but it's his first match. And we're already sticking him in gimmick matches that we don't even know what the gimmick is.
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it? It just makes me nervous because it kind of brings you back to the bad booking he's had before. And I won't go too far into it because I think we have a question about that later. But yeah, it's just kind of like, can we just let him wrestle? Help, please.
I think we need to see him in the ring ASAP.
Yeah, that would be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
All right, so now we move on to Jack's next question, which I am so glad someone asked this because this was one of the things that I knew we had to talk about. Mm-hmm. And he asked, how do we feel about the AEW Women's Originals versus Outsiders feud? And do you think it could be a potential Blood and Guts team style match? First off, I will admit they did a very good job kind of pivoting from the whole mystery opponent debacle, because we ripped that to shreds last week. That was just stupid. It was, they could have done so much better booking than they did, but they were able to take that and turn that around, and I was not expecting Saraya and Tony to turn at all. So I was pleasantly surprised.
Oh yeah, I was too. I was definitely surprised when they started attacking Willow Nightingale. I was like, wait a second. They don't usually do this.
Yeah.
And then someone, I think somebody that asked the question, and again, in the question, I'm just paraphrasing, what do we think about the supposed big stars going after the AEW originals? And I'm like,
yeah,
it makes so much sense, but it makes it so much easier to hate Saraya and Toni Storm.
Which maybe that's the plan all along. And it was just interesting because you kind of go back to what Britt was saying when they were leading up to Saraya's first match back, and Britt can literally look at this and go, see, I told you guys, I told you this is what they were going to do all along. I told you this is how they felt, and look what happened. Their true colors showed, and they pretty much just vindicated anything that Britt had said leading up to that match. So I like that little piece of validation, and I hope she kind of talks about that. Well, I would say this week, but she's wrestling this week at a triple threat on Dynamite, her, Ruby, and Tony, which, as always, they like to just make me suffer, but yeah, that's going to be a really good match, I think. So I'm looking forward to that. But I'm also looking forward to seeing what happens with this, because there's so many different like avenues you could go. And I think the whole blood and guts thing could actually work, because then you can add like a little kind of like wrinkle into it of Britt wanting to like spearhead and lead the team, but then also wanting to be like, you know, I really don't like any of you, but you guys have been originals, you've been here from the start, so I'll just like tolerate you, and just to get rid of the original, or like the outsiders. So I like that we could do a potential little like brand warfare here. So I'm excited to see where this goes, because that has the potential to be something pretty big.
Yeah, and I'm wondering where can Saraya and Tony go, because they're, who else would be like the other, you know, non-homegrown person that they can go with?
I'm trying to think off the top of my head.
It's kind of hard.
Worst part is you can't really have Ruby going with the homegrowns, because she wasn't a homegrown.
Yeah. So
but you also like, can't see. I hope they don't turn Ruby too. That might just make me cry. But well, I mean, Sheeta would definitely, you would think, have to defect to the. Yeah, I guess it would. She'd be a homegrown, I suppose, because she was there from the beginning.
Yeah, Sheeta, maybe like a Riho or something like that.
Yeah, but you'd be happy about that one.
You know me, I love me some Riho.
Exactly, so I think that would be, it's so tough, because it's like you had Ruby come out and like stop the like outsiders from attacking the homegrowns, and yet she's an outsider herself, but I don't know, this is going to be interesting.
Yeah, it definitely is a story that is developing that we can definitely get into. I see the potential of it. You know, it's just a matter of which way they want to go.
And if you put them in a blood and guts match, oh my god, sign me up. That would be fantastic. I think that would pretty much be AEW's like answer to the War Games, the Women's War Games match. So
yeah, for sure.
I would love to see it. So hopefully that's what we get. No, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say I'm with you there.
Yeah, hey, we got the same wavelength. What can we say? That's just how it is. Does Takeshita need a big win soon? Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, even though like we always say it all the time, like not every match has to be a win. You know, sometimes you can get a victory in a loss, and I feel like that's what Takeshita is doing. But it would be nice to see him get a couple wins under his belt, because I feel like they have a star on their hands. And I feel like one thing about Takeshita that's very interesting is what I like to do is I get a lot of wrestling pages on my Facebook feed for some reason. And I don't really follow them or read the comments. But sometimes when they talk about people like Takeshita and what he's doing, I like to see what people are saying, because you get to see a lot of people that are not familiar with him. or or maybe just tuned into Dynamite for the first time seeing him. And it's all been very positive about around Takeshita. Everyone who's new on him, who's never heard of him before, seemed to really, really like him and say that he's going to be someone that they're going to look for in the future. So he's got some star power to him. It's all a matter of what AEW wants to do to see how far they can take it.
Yeah, I agree. He definitely, they have a star on their hands. And I think the problem is just a certain section of the fans can be very fickle. So they could be with him 1 minute, but then the more he loses, no matter how good he is, they'll just be like, okay, well, yeah, he's good, but he keeps losing. So you're not going to really expect him to actually like achieve anything because all he does is lose. So yeah, at some point they need to give him a big win and not just like, oh, we don't know who that guy is, but he's going to beat him. You need to beat someone like a big important name, like, I don't know, like a Chris Jericho or something, but he needs a win soon because I don't know how much more if you can take of him coming just close enough, but not fully
done. He's a star, man. He's got star potential, and he just I like his makeup. His build is great to him. He's very athletic. You know, he comes from a DDT background, so they're very diverse in their take on professional wrestling. So he can kind of mix it up and do different styles. He's young, and he's been wrestling forever. Yeah. You know, he's been wrestling forever, and he's still pretty young. I think he's younger than the both of us.
Yeah.
Or no, he's definitely younger than you. I'm old. I keep forgetting that I'm old.
let me look it up while we're here. But at this rate, you know, I wouldn't be surprised because you start seeing these people that are younger than I am, and I'm like, all right.
He's young, but he's been wrestling for so long. I think that's the trick to it is that, like, in Japan – you know, you could start training when, like, you're 14, 15. Like Jeff is always sending us those videos of those, 13 and 14-year-olds mixing it up in the ring. Yeah. You know, which is the craziest concept. Honestly. You know?
Actually, he's older than I am, but not by much.
See, he's still pretty young, though.
No, here's the thing that's blowing my mind, and I don't know why. It always just blows my mind when I see these things. He is actually 364 days older than me. His birthday is literally May 29th, 1995, and my birthday is May 30th, 1996. So,
wow.
So, very close, but yet so far away. But yeah, that's just still insane.
Yeah, his star potential stock is definitely there. He just needs a couple wins. I'd like to see him in a feud. You know, maybe someone like a powerhouse Hobbs, something like that. You know, or an All Ego Ethan Page. That'd be good. I would love to see him with Ethan Page kind of have a feud because I feel like those are two young dudes that are kind of perfect, like mid card level that have main event potential. Mm-hmm. Just get them there in a couple years and they'll be ready. I feel like Ethan Page is a guy who's like main event level and like give him like 2 years, he'd be like, if MJF was to go away or something like that, he'd be another guy that everybody can just love to hate.
Yeah, exactly. I would totally love to see that. But I think at the end of the day, he just needs to win some more matches. That's
for sure.
Just plain and simple. They need to give him some wins.
I would love to see him on the next pay-per-view.
Yeah, I agree. And not on the buy-in or not on like the pre-show, the actual card. That would be that'd be great. And Jack's last question is, should Hook and Jungle Boy be sponsored by Head & Shoulders?
I saw this question. I thought that would be perfect because they both have very different styles of hair, but very perfect styles of hair.
Right? It works for both of them. Like,
It's like Hook just wakes up and whatever happens just happens, but it just flows so effortlessly. And then you have Jungle Boy who has those curls, those long curls. I mean, perfect heads of hair. And I'm just jealous because I have this mop on my head.
I feel like if I would want like any style of hair, I'd rather have it straight. Mine's more like wavy and I just want like kind of straighter hair. I guess that's why I have to straighten it a little bit. But yeah, I can to just wake up and be like, yeah, that looks good. And it actually is instead of being delusional. I wish.
I'm very jealous of Hook's hair. Very jealous. Tell me about
it. So you know what? Yes, they should be sponsored by Head & Shoulders. Absolutely. God. I love those questions. You need the ones that make you laugh a little bit.
For sure.
All right. So those are all of Jack's questions. So Jack, thank you again.
Thank you, Jack.
And we are going to round these out with Jeff's questions. And he sent us quite a few. So let's dive right into it. Will this new run for Bray Wyatt see him winning a major feud? Or will it be just the same old where he loses all his biggest matches? Oh, I hope not.
I don't think it will be.
I hope.
Go ahead.
No, I hope it's just... Because again, we're just so used to like Vince's WWE where, oh, we're just going to build him up and he's going to be massively popular and make us a lot of money, but we're not going to have him win anything. Like, I would like to think that Triple H would have him be a big deal and actually be a big deal by winning matches. So I hope this is different. I really hope this is different.
Yeah. I don't see him losing to LA Knight at the Royal Rumble.
No.
I will say that. I don't see him losing to LA Knight. I think he's obviously going to win his first major match back in the company. It's on the Royal Rumble Premium Live event. So mm-hmm. I think they want to start off on the right foot. And I, like you said, we're just preconditioned to think that this is Vince's WWE and this is Vince's creative direction when it's actually not. You know, no. it's somebody else's creative direction. Now, how much input does Bray Wyatt have on his own character? That remains to be seen. You kind of have to be a fly on the wall to understand how that works, you know, because we're not there, so we don't know. But I feel like we should feel a little bit better because this has a little bit more of Bray Wyatt's creative input.
Yeah.
As far as him winning the matches, it depends on with how they go from here. I feel like this is... On one side, it's good that he's going up against LA Knight, who needs to establish himself, who's kind of a... He's not young, but he's he's new to the WWE game.
Yeah.
You know? And there's a lot of potential there. So I think this is a good feud because there's a lot of potential with LA Knight and Bray Wyatt. It's good. And this whole thing with the Uncle Howdy, it's still kind of intriguing. And they're trying to mix in Alexa Bliss. So there's a lot of legs to this. And I think... It's just a matter of what they do in the ring. But, yeah, I think he definitely needs to win a couple. I think Triple H sees him as a big-time player, so he may win a couple. You know, he might not go down that route where he loses all of his matches.
God, I hope you're right. I really do, because you have somebody like him. You can't waste him again.
Right.
You got him back. Don't screw it up this time.
Yeah.
We can only hope. We'll see what happens at the Rumble, which that's Sunday. That's this Saturday, actually. We are going to have a lot to talk about on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about the Rumble, you know, all the surprises. That's, like you said, the Rumble's your favorite event. It's definitely one of my favorites. I'm just interested in seeing what surprises they have in store because, like we said earlier, I can't predict anything for the Men's Royal Rumble. Except that Cody Rhodes is going to be in it, and he might do something.
that's all I got, too.
That's all I got.
Which is good, because then I think it helps, because then we're just going to be like, okay, well, we really don't know what to expect except Cody coming back, so we could be genuinely surprised, which I do appreciate being genuinely surprised in wrestling. So, yeah, I'm really excited to see where this will go this year.
For sure.
Speaking of the Rumble, we kind of touched on this a little earlier, but I'll still ask it. Do you have any predictions for surprise entrance? I think it's still got to be Jay White.
Jay White is definitely high on my list of someone. I feel like he won't have the same impact as AJ Styles, but it'll be felt, you know, because when AJ came in the Royal Rumble, that was felt for a while, and then he just went on this mega run. And then became two-time WWE champion. And the funny thing is about that is that Vince McMahon goes, man, if I only had this guy 10 years earlier, he would have been something really big in this company. But I feel like Jay White has the same potential. I feel like Jay White is a big-time player, so I would love to see him on a big-time stage like WWE and see what he can do. He's my pick. As far as any other surprises...
I'll still say Kyrie.
Kyrie would be fun for the women.
Just because.
It's just, it's just tough now because before, you know, we could be like, there, you know, just like 3 years ago, 3-4 years ago, there was no AEW, so the possibilities were endless.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, not so much. So we're going to see a little bit of NXT surprises. Might see a Carmelo Hayes.
Hell could see Cora Jade, maybe.
Cora Jade.
Toxic Attraction.
Yeah, I definitely like that. Toxic Attraction. We're definitely going to see a lot of heavy NXT presence, I feel.
I think so, which we're always... I always like seeing the NXT people get up there. So, yeah, I think that would be a good good little mix to have. You got to have, like, kind of like what we said, a little mix of NXT, a little mix of, like, out of the company. Obviously, it's a little more difficult now because of AEW, but you can still get those surprises. So, yeah,
right.
That's the magic of the Rumble for me, is you never know what the hell is going to happen.
And this is the first Rumble under the Triple H regime. So yeah, you really get a sense of how they operate in terms of what do they want to do sort of outside the WWE bubble. How do they want to operate in that sort of world outside of the WWE bubble and bringing into the WWE side of things.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's going to be a fun one, I think.
Definitely.
Certain superstars have seemed to have fallen off, like Karrion Kross and Saray. Do we feel that that's a creative issue or is it something else?
I'd say it's a creative issue.
I would think so, because, I mean, Karrion's still, I guess, doing something with, like, Rey Mysterio, which I guess is, like, still kind of a big deal because Rey's pretty much a legend when it comes to wrestling in general, but, oh, he could be doing so much more.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, it's weird in the case of Karrion Kross because I feel like he has so much potential in the way he operates, you know?
Yeah.
His promos are pretty solid. He's a good promo. I just feel like he wrestles a certain style that might turn people off. He's a little bit slower paced and more methodical.
Where have we heard this before? Sounds vaguely familiar. Yeah, which is probably why I actually like him. So, yeah, it's just the talent's there. It's just the crowd's just not into him at all, which is a shame because they should be. But, yeah, as a Saray, I have no idea what's going on, like, at all.
Yeah, I haven't seen her in months.
Which is a shame because she was pretty decent when she first got here, and then it's just kind of went to hell rather quickly. So, I don't know what the heck's going on.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen her in months, so I can't. Like I said, I try to stay away from the dirt sheets and stuff like that because I hate spoilers, but I haven't seen anything on her and what she's been doing. Hopefully, it's not like a visa issue because I know a couple superstars had visa issues.
I hope not.
Like the couple international stars, like Doudrop and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Had problems with their visas. So maybe it could be that's the issue that, you know, she's just not clear visa-wise. Hopefully it's just something logistical and not like, you know, physical, she's not injured.
Yeah.
Or worse, they just don't have anything for her because that's always the worst because she's it's not like she's, you know, homegrown in the United States and she could just pick herself up and go to another promotion and wrestle there. No, she's from Japan. She's like, this is all foreign to her, you know?
Yeah, so. And I couldn't even imagine, like, the foreign wrestlers coming over here because not only – it's not like us going to a different state. It's like you're going to a whole completely different culture, different everything. So I couldn't even imagine the isolation or the isolating feeling it must be to just be like, I don't know anything about this new country I'm in, but I kind of have to be here because of my job. So, yeah, I could see it would definitely be very – stressful, to say the least. I think she even had to take a break because of mental health reasons, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it's just it's not easy.
No, I mean, in hell, it's not even easy for people here because I don't know if you had seen. I think if I remember correctly, it was Amari Miller back a few weeks ago. She was talking about on her TikTok about, like, I mean, obviously trigger warning for anybody who does, like, deals with mental health, like, don't listen on or skip ahead maybe a couple minutes or so, but she had, like, suicidal, like, thoughts and actually, like, tried to do that. So it's like,
really,
no one really knows what you're going through. And that's why it's like, I think mental health is such an important thing for both of us, because it's like, you could just choose to be a decent person because you don't know who else is going through anything, because sometimes you just don't want to talk about it. And honestly, for the most part, there's such a stigma around mental health that you don't want to talk about it. And it's, again, a very isolating feeling. So it's like you just have to treat people with just kindness. I know that's apparently such a very hard thing to do. Yeah, it's a shame. So it's like you don't really know the stress these performers put themselves through for your entertainment. So just think about that next time before you want to be an asshole online that, you know, they're people too, but we tend to forget that. But it's crazy.
I can't put it any better myself. I think you said it perfectly. So you just hope that it's just something logistical, like, you know, some visa paperwork or something like that, and not anything physical or mental health reasons why we haven't seen Saray, because she could be a phenomenal talent as well. Like, I remember seeing her the first couple times on NXT and I was like, wow, she could really do something here, you know, and it's just nothing's come to fruition. So hopefully they can work it out.
I sure hope so, for not just her sake, for just for the company's sake, because I feel like she could be a pretty big asset for them.
Right.
All right. So moving on, Jeff's next question is, were we able to check out the Stardom New Blood show? And if we did, what did we think of the show? And did any of the matches stand out to you? Unfortunately, I did not get to watch it.
Yeah, I didn't get to watch it. I've been super busy this weekend. Unfortunately, I didn't get to watch it. I do have to go back and watch some of the stuff that he's been sending us, because it did look intriguing. I saw a couple clips, but nothing substantial. And I know they just had their year-end awards where they were naming a bunch of year-end people that have been doing great. So it seems like a good time to start fresh with the company.
Yeah.
Start, you know, if, like we said earlier, if you want to get into Joshi wrestling, it seems like a good time, because I feel like Mercedes Moné is going to make waves. I think the first big wave was the whole selling out the arena just on the match itself.
Yeah.
At that time that they sold out, it was the only match that was announced.
Exactly.
Can that translate in foreign land?
And also, can she keep her ego in check?
Yeah, that's another big thing. Wrestler ego is something crazy, but I feel like it's going to be good for Joshi Wrestling to have someone with a different style coming in. But yeah, she's got that wrestler's ego, you know?
Yeah, I think the other problem too I noticed was, I think I follow her on Twitter, and she was promoting not Bushiroad companies, so I'm like, that's not very good, because I feel like, and I'm sure Jeff can correct us after he listens to this, but I would like to think that that's not that's a no-no when it comes to Japanese culture, where it's like, if you're signed to one company, you don't talk about the other ones, you kind of stick with your own. So hopefully that doesn't cause any problems, but because obviously it's different here to a degree, but it's still kind of an unwritten rule of, if you're working for one company, you don't actively promote competition, because that just kind of speaks for itself. So hopefully she doesn't end up in hot water for that one. But yeah, I would say to anybody who is always interested, go check out the Stardom show. I will try to find it if I can. I'm sure Jeff can get us the link if he has it, which I'm sure he does. But also, always hit up Jeff if you have any Joshi questions, because as you guys may have heard a couple weeks ago, he definitely has the knowledge, and we're just here when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah, he wants to restart his podcast. He's just looking for a co-host. So if you're into Joshi wrestling, definitely, and you need to get in touch with him, you can find us on social media. We'll get you the links later on in the show where you can find us, but get in touch with him if you want to work with him in creating some sort of wrestling content for Joshi wrestling, which I think is more, I think Voices of Wrestling are the only ones that really cover, as far as I know, different areas of wrestling, like Joshi wrestling. So there definitely is a market. There's definitely a thirst for knowledge when it comes to that. So you definitely should hit up Jeff if you want to create some content with him.
Yep. I couldn't have said it better myself. All right. So now he would like to know if we think there will be any repercussions for Sami Zayn, since he was a little late to try and help the Bloodline.
What a nice little wrinkle in the story, huh?
Oh, boy. And now he's going to be put on trial tomorrow, as of this recording tonight. But, boy, that's going to be something else. The fact that they the fact that they moved the bloodline acknowledgement ceremony and got rid of it just to put him on trial, essentially, this is going to be, this is going to be wild. I just know it.
Someone said that the reason they got rid of the bloodline acknowledgement ceremony is because they knew The Rock wasn't going to show up, and in this match that was going to that wanted to happen at WrestleMania is not going to happen.
I mean, you can't say that every era of the bloodline is going to be there and have him of all people not be there.
That's what I'm saying. It's like,
what are we doing? Like, what are we doing? But
it's, you want to talk about missed opportunities.
That might be a whole other episode in and of itself. Like, what the heck went wrong?
Oh man. As far as like what they're doing with Sammy now, I like it, but I don't like it because I like the bloodline, and I don't want the bloodline with Sami Zayn to end.
Oh, you're going to weep when it happens, aren't you?
I am. I'm going to openly weep on this podcast that it is over, and they have to nail it. They have to nail it. You know, it has to be a home run, because everything they've done now up until this point has been a home run. Mm-hmm. So...
And it's like everybody knows it's coming, so you have to build it up. You've been building it up for Jesus a year at this point, give or take, so you might not want to screw it up.
Yeah, that's the big thing. This has been a yearly thing now, you know, to finally to see probably one of the longest storylines in the modern era finally come to a close. I think that's why I'm so like sad, because I've always thirsted for those long, really good stories. And we used to get them in the black and gold era of NXT with like Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. Something that transcended, you know, years of work. And I feel like the bloodline thing is something that has gone on for a year or two now already. You know, that's just been, it's been ever since they pressed the gas pedal, it's just been go, and it's been great. So to see it come to an end, I'm like nervous, you know. I really want them to knock it out of the park.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. So big pressure on them. I hope they don't screw it up.
Yeah, they have a lot of pressure on them. Definitely, I think obviously a lot of eyes are going to be on this episode of Raw because it's the 30th anniversary. They got everybody coming back. They got all the bad people, the racists, all the sexual offenders and abusers coming back. So Raw 30 should be a grand old time.
Yeah, I saw that and I'm like, yikes, that's unfortunate. I mean,
they got Hogan, they got Flair, they got Waller. What more could you want?
It's like, can we please not? But yeah, so that's going to be a pain. Before we get into a rant about that one, let's just move on. Jeff would like to know if there are any Joshi that have worked with AEW in the past that we would like to see make a return and have a major impact for the company. Oh, I have one immediately, but I'll let you go first because I have a feeling we might not have the same one, but we'll see.
You know, I'm going to say Riho.
Yeah, I was going to say, I knew.
You know, I'm going to, like, I'm not well versed in the Joshi. I just love the style of it. Every time I watch it, I'm like, I got to watch more of this. Like, what am I doing with my life? Because it's just, it's so captivating. And it's wrestling. If you want wrestling that makes you, like, believe in everything that they do, Joshi wrestling is for you. But and that's why I think that's why I love the way AEW uses their female talent from overseas. They just do a good job, and I know Kenny Omega really looks out for them and stuff like that, being that he has such a close-knit relationship with everything Japan, so he kind of looks out for them and stuff like that, and he really advocates for them. So I really would like to see more Joshi. I think the smart thing to do is do what WCW used to do with the luchadors. They used to showcase them. Mm-hmm. And I feel like showcasing Joshi wrestling for AEW would be a smart thing.
I completely agree. So this is the one time we were not on the same wavelength, because I knew you were going to say Riho. So I, for entertainment value only, and obviously in ring, because if they weren't good in the ring, they wouldn't be there. I want to see Maki Ito in AEW again.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Maki Ito's, she's just, like you said, the entertainment value Even the stuff that she's doing on the independents here in the States, joining MDK with Nick Gage. Like, oh my god.
Only Macchiato would do that.
She completely just stole his gimmick and it's like getting over, which is great.
Yeah. So it's like, you know what? I would love to see her in AEW again. It was just everything I've seen with her is always just hilarious. Her social media is funny. It is so funny. Just dropping MFers here and there all over the place. Just, you know, everybody. I love it. I love Maki Ito. So I would definitely want to see her in AEW again.
I would love that.
Alrighty, so which company do we think has the best show currently on TV, and why?
Ooh.
That's tough.
That is tough. That's tough. It's not easy.
No. It is tough. I feel like just going off of the storylines I have going right now, I would probably say Dynamite. Because you have compelling stories in every facet of that, like, roster. Right. Like, you have the Outsiders versus the AEW Homegrowns happening now, which is going to be wild. You have all the chaos going on with the Acclaimed and the Guns right now in the tag division. You have MJF and Bryan Danielson for, like, the men's side. So it's like, I mean, you also in the tag teams, you have the House of Black wreaking havoc on everybody, which, of course, we're not complaining about at all. So, yeah, I think there's just a lot of compelling TV on Dynamite right now, and it makes you want to tune in every week because you don't know what you're going to get.
That's a solid choice. I'm going to go with SmackDown. Ooh. I seem to always look forward to watching SmackDown.
Bloodline.
I think that's what it is that it's such heavily Bloodline-featured show that's why I love SmackDown so much. They just, you can always find at least one good solid match on SmackDown, but Dynamite's a good choice too, because like you said, I mean, it's a different dichotomy because they have to pack in all their stories into basically 3 hours of television with between Dynamite and Rampage, whereas WWE has this infinite amount of programming that they could put out. So I think that's why it's different with Dynamite. I think that's why you get more of the stories on the TV, and that's why it's a little bit more compelling, but you can't go wrong with Dynamite for sure.
Yeah. And honestly, SmackDown's a good pick too. So it's nice to have different types of, shows to watch where we're going to be satisfied either way.
Right.
All right, so I'm glad we got a question like this. Where would we place the FTR Briscoes rivalry in regards to some of the best tag team feuds of all time? I would say it has to be pretty up there.
Oh, yeah, especially in the modern era. I'd say, Jesus, in the past 10 years?
Yeah.
Just oh, my God. To have three very different matches, but all have you at the end of the match going, holy shit, what did we just watch?
Yeah.
You know, is a testament of just the love of pro wrestling from all four men, you know, and the love of wanting to put on a good show, you know, and they had the space to do that because I don't think, we're never going to get the Briscoes versus the Usos, which bums me out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember going to see the Briscoes the first time in 2014 Worlds. And I was just like, I get it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't that Mark just climbed up the entire building and had people going crazy on the outside, but I get it. Like, you know, like, and that's just the Briscoes, man. They were real. Like, Jay was real, you know, and everything, his promos were just, they were off the wall. They made no sense sometimes, but they were just great real life stuff. Like, I've been saying Terry Funk ain't wearing no damn mouthpiece pretending I was Jay Briscoe. I've been saying that all day today, you know, just because it's just a funny line that makes no damn sense. But that was what they brought, man. And it's just, like I said, it's a terrible loss. But I'm glad that, like, in hindsight, like, he's an example of someone who had their faults, but were doing the best to make them right.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I could have easily just been like, yeah, well, he said these things a long time ago, and just, you could just resent him for it, but he legitimately would apologize profusely for them, because when back in the day, you say dumb shit all the time, and some things are just a lot worse than others, especially the stuff he was saying, but he legitimately made the effort to turn it around and understand other people's points of view and not judge them based off of who they truly felt they were, who they chose to love. And people gave him credit for putting the work in to become a better human being, essentially. And
because how often do you hear that someone actually tries to put in the effort in saying, okay, I was wrong, let me educate myself into being a better person? When you educate yourself about these things, you educate yourself to be a better person. And I think he understood that, and we don't really hear that very often.
No, because usually it's just like a canned apology, and then you just come to find out later that they haven't changed one bit. No, with him, he legitimately changed. So I give him all the credit in the world for doing that, because it's not easy. I can imagine it's not an easy thing to do. So because you're going to have those people, no matter what, that are going to be like, well, you said this years ago, even though you've changed since then, but still hold it against him. So that's just good on him for putting in the work to change. So I definitely appreciated it. And as far as the question went with the feud, the thing that I think I always liked was the fact that out of those three matches, you could have legitimately picked any one of those and said, yeah, that's like their best match out of that trilogy. And most people would be like, okay, yeah, I can see why that would be the case. Like, any single one of them could have been their best match, like, easily, which is insane, because 9 times out of 10, you're going to have, like, maybe one of those matches be, like, fantastic, and the other two, you're like, oh, well, it didn't really live up to match one, or it didn't really live up to, like, what they had done in the past. No, they raised the bar every single time, so you could legitimately pick any one of those three matches that they had, and you could say that was their best match, and people would be like, you know what? Yeah, you're right.
I agree. It's just, and not only their best match, just like you pop that in and you can go, that's the best tag team match I've seen in the past 5 years, you know?
Yeah.
Because they were just that good. The chemistry between the Briscoes and FTR is just, it should be studied in terms of pro wrestling.
Yep.
Just to have that type of chemistry. It was just timeless matches, timeless. Timeless, timeless stuff. That, you know, in my old age, there's not very matches that I go back and go, I want to rewatch that match. But the Briscoes, I believe the second one was one of the ones where I was just like, I got to rewatch that one again, because that was just insane. And this one, and this last one, if you enjoy bloodbaths, you know, the last one that they had, the dog collar, match, it was just a bloodbath, but it wasn't an offensive bloodbath, and I'm one that blood doesn't really do anything for me in wrestling, you know so I could do without it. But I mean, for me to understand the concept of this is a blood feud now, you know, and this adds a layer to the story, only they can do that. So go back and watch those matches if you haven't. And I know that the tribute show is going to be up on YouTube for free. I don't know if it's up yet, but they're I guess it's in post-production, and they're going to put it up on the internet for free to watch the tribute show from AEW. So that's pretty good too. But yeah, just go back and watch those matches if you haven't. If you haven't seen FTR versus the Briscoes, watch any of those, and it'll just reinvigorate your love for professional wrestling.
Yeah, and I think in kind of a weird way, that was like a very kind of like final, like, I don't know how to describe it, where it's like that was his last match, if I remember correctly, the dog collar. So it's like, it was such a weird kind of like send off in a way, because obviously you don't expect it that to have been his last match, but the fact that it was pretty good, I'd say.
Yeah, it was unfortunately, like you said, we don't know that it's going to be the send off, but that's one hell of a match to go out on, you know?
Yeah.
And like you said earlier, he wasn't just the tag team wrestler. He was also a singles competitor too. And he held the company and he held the world title twice on two occasions. The first time he held it, you know, he really carried the company and it was just perfect, you know? So he was just a complete wrestler, wrestler who loved wrestling, loved his family. And he's going to be sorely missed.
Yeah, absolutely. Gonna set it better myself. All right. So who loses one belt or both first? Roman Reigns or the Usos?
I say the Usos.
You think?
I think they're setting up for it because they're having them defend the Raw Tag Team Champions against the Judgment Day. Mm-hmm. And then they have this tournament on SmackDown to determine the number one contenders for the SmackDown titles. So I feel like they're trying to figure out a way to get one or both the belts off of the Usos.
Yeah. I might have to agree with you because I don't see Roman losing at the Rumble. I don't think he won't lose until at least WrestleMania. So I feel like by just law of average, I would think that the Usos would definitely be the ones that would lose a belt or a set of belts first.
Yeah, I would have to agree.
And for our second, or now our final question of the night, do we have any predictions for the SmackDown title, tag title tournament? And which teams do we think should make the finals? Nice little segue there.
I feel like they're making it. They want to do the Banger Bros, Drew McIntyre, Sheamus versus the Usos to get that sort of revenge on them.
Yeah, so I think finals-wise, because I think right now it's McIntyre and Sheamus against Hit Row, and then Imperium and Legado del Fantasma on the other side. So I think it's going to end up being Drew and Sheamus against Imperium, which that would be a really good match. That'd be a good time.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think Drew and Sheamus would end up winning that. So if we do get that match, them versus the Usos, that's going to be a fun one. I will thoroughly enjoy that one.
Me too. I would definitely want to see. I feel like the one saving grace about Triple H being in charge is that we finally get to see the greatness of Imperium and Gunther and what a great tag team Giovanni Vinci and Ludwig Kaiser is. So I feel like definitely would love to see them get their just due in time.
Yep.
But it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, I agree. And it's nice to see the chemistry with Sheamus and McIntyre, because we knew it was there when they were wrestling each other. And then actually as a team, it's just as good. So, I'm excited to see them versus Imperium, and even more so excited to see them in the Usos.
For sure.
Hopefully, if that's the case, we might have just completely,
might have just jinxed it.
Yeah, might have just jinxed it, but who knows. If I remember correctly, I do believe that is all the questions, actually. We are done.
We are done with the questions.
We did it.
We did it. We made it through. Oh, my Lord.
We survived.
It was so difficult. No, it was really a lot of fun. This is the fun part about doing the podcast. It's like it's turned into like I don't have to do too much work. Like, it's not like a job. It's still like a hobby. Which I love. And it's because of you guys using your creative input to ask us these questions on the things that we think about wrestling and how it encompasses all of wrestling.
Yeah, because honestly, this could easily become a chore where we're like, oh God, you gotta do the podcast. You gotta pay attention to all of this stuff. It's just like, it's nice to just be able to pick, even if there's just like a random thing that maybe isn't a big deal to like the mainstream wrestling people, if we want to talk about it, we'll talk about it. And 9 times out of 10, our listeners know us well enough that they will ask us those questions. But it's nice to just have that creative freedom to just talk about whatever the heck we want to talk about.
I mean, this podcast episode had our review on different Mountain Dew flavors.
Yes, it's like you really and we always start off with some type of sports talk. So it's you get a lot of things with this. We become unhinged sometimes. So
I love it. I love it so much. And thank you guys for always listening and encouraging us to put out more episodes Without you guys listening and wanting to be a part of the podcast, this wouldn't be fun to do at all. So thank you very much. Just to let you guys know, this podcast is available through anchor.fm. If you go to anchor.fm/theringsiderundown, you can listen to the podcast. Again, that's anchor.fm/ringsiderundown. And through Anchor FM, they distribute the podcast all across the board to places like Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Apple, wherever you listen to podcasts. Ringside Rundown is there just by searching the Ringside Rundown. If you can't find it, one of us will deliver a link to the podcast on a silver platter, just like what we were talking about earlier. The silver platter could belong to you if you need to find a link to the podcast. It's still there collecting dust on Shay's shelf.
Yeah, still there. It's not mom's silver platter. That's different, but we still have the original.
We have the original, and that's for if you can't find it through Anchor FM. Like we said, it's available. Just search Ringside Rundown, and you'll be able to find the podcast. But if not, just hit us up on social media. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at the same handle. That's Ringside Rundown. Just hit us up. Our DMs are open. Say, hey, I need a link to the episode, and we will deliver one to you on that silver platter that we're always talking about. So yeah, check us out on social media. If you want to talk to me personally, you can reach me on Twitter at WrestlingCron. That's Wrestling C-H-R-O-N. And I also Twitch stream Monday through Friday, 2 p.m. on Twitch, twitch.tv/EricTheGhost. Again, that's twitch.tv/EricTheGhost. Shay, where can they get in touch with you?
You can find me mainly on Twitter at ShayleneHixon21. It is just as unhinged as our podcast, so if that's what you're into, then be my guest. And as always, follow Eric on his Twitch streams. They're always a great time. Maybe someday in, you know, 50 years from now, I'll get back into streaming. But until then, go check out Eric's. They're always good.
Yeah, I'm the one that has all the time on my hands.
Yeah, unfortunately, I wish I had that time on my hands again, but yeah, work's a thing, unfortunately, so maybe someday.
Damn capitalism making me
right. Damn money and rent and bills. Yeah, it's a struggle, but we make do.
Well, for Shay Hixon, my name is Eric Vasquez. We're going to get the heck out of here. We shall see you next week on another episode of the Ringside Rundown. See you later, guys.
See you, guys.